Howdy, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Texish, the show about some things Texas.
And some things not.
We've got an incredible episode so in good. Store for all of y'all today. We're also in the same room.
We're in the same room.
Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter, and I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
Don't forget to check out Texas Reacts, our virtual show on YouTube, yada, yada, yada. But before we go any further, Seth, I think we need to shout out your favorite segment.
And ours.
Our not sponsors. Still zero money. We're almost 2 years in.
2 years in.
Not
no
a
money
dime.
From any of these people.
Not a dime from any of these brands,
at
people,
this point,
businesses,
I feel like
things.
At least Dr. Pepper should give us some recognition.
I mean, I think a couple of people
couple
should be giving us
sure.
recognition. But
honestly, I think we need a Texish Carhartt section.
I think we should just make a coffee table book out of all of the not sponsors. But before we do that, who was our first not sponsor for today's episode?
Our first not sponsor is Virtual Meetings.
Virtual meetings.
I'm not wearing pants. It's a virtual meeting. This isn't coffee in my mug, I promise. It's a virtual meeting. I'm working from home, aka the beach. Virtual meetings. This is pointless. We could have done this in an email. Like, this didn't have to happen. Why are you wasting my time? It's a virtual meeting.
I didn't think of 100 different ways to try and cancel or push this.
Virtual meetings.
I hate virtual meetings.
They always go so well, and there's never any technical difficulties.
Yeah, no technical. How is it that we are 3 years in to a mostly remote work world, and at least every other call I have, and sometimes it's my computer,
yeah,
it is not user error half the time, but you go to the meeting and your mic doesn't work, or the camera's not on, or you're on mute and you don't know why, or the earphones don't connect.
Yeah.
Just do away with all meetings. Can we just quit? Just everyone stop working.
Give me a voice memo from the top down and just be like, this is what you have to do. Yeah. This person is being dumb. This person's being great. Go about your day.
Yeah, just fire the fats. Anyway.
We're on a roll today.
I know. I'll
okay.
Wear the fats.
Anyway, yeah.
Want to hear about our other not sponsor? Our other not sponsor is the Nolan Ryan Beef Company.
The Nolan Ryan Beef Company.
Cows bred by Nolan Ryan himself. It's the Nolan Ryan Beef Company. I love my beef served with a side of 99 mile per hour fastball. It's the
Nolan Ryan Beef Company.
From the curveball cutlets to the four-seam flank steaks, you're going to love it all. It's
The Nolan Ryan Beef Company.
Ranched by underpaid minor leaguers.
The Nolan Ryan Beef Company. Suck it, Omaha Steaks. The Nolan Ryan Beef Company.
Clogging George W. Bush's arteries since 1984.
The Nolan Ryan Beef Company. Because if anybody knows beef, it's former baseball players. It's the
Nolan Ryan Beef Company. I mean, he was a rancher, kind of. He was one of those guys from a small town who thought, yeah, I want to be a cowboy. Threw a baseball 1,000 miles an hour
for a little bit,
and then halfway through thought, oh wait, I'll just buy a ranch now.
Dude, my favorite, like, this is completely tangential, mm-hmm, but my favorite baseball kind of stories are specifically, who was that really tall Arizona pitcher?
Randy Johnson.
When Randy Johnson killed not one but two birds,
yeah, with one stone, with literally one stone.
Just like the crate, you watch the playback and a bird explodes,
yeah,
halfway,
just,
and you look at Randy Johnson, and I think a lot of pitchers just wouldn't care.
Yeah,
he was like distraught.
Well, you know, he's actually he has been featured in National Geographic as a wildlife photographer.
Yeah,
I mean, he's kind of a
soy people don't know that,
and like he immediately after retiring from baseball, after a great career, tangent, you know,
right, two birds notwithstanding,
yeah, segments and whatnot, we'll get there in a little bit, but
Randy Johnson murdered baseball.
He murdered baseball and murdered a bird and felt horrible about it. Like, he's a Buddhist level appreciator,
yeah,
of wildlife,
conservationist.
So he has spent his half, like, you know, this other half of his life photographing some of the most immaculate, wonderful species on the planet.
I like to think that this half of his life is in atonement.
A little. I mean, I think it happened. He thought, oh, man, oh, I'm going to spend the rest of my life making up for this. And it was a pigeon. I mean, come on.
Right. Like, you know, rock.
Yeah.
Dove.
I literally saw a homeless person on South Congress wiping their butt with a pigeon. I think it'll be all right. I didn't actually see that. That was a joke.
That was funny.
I only thought
the
of it.
The visual was great.
I was scootering over here from the Von Lane bus stop.
Right.
Bust over here. Shouts out Von Lane. And I'm not kidding. The first thing I see outside of just the building is I turn right and there's a homeless woman changing her maxi pad with her pants off hanging on a railing. So she had
Well, you can't let the pants touch the ground. That's dirty.
Clearly. But I had not seen that one before. Sure. I've seen defecation.
Yeah.
I've never seen wiping. One. This was a homeless woman.
Yeah.
Changing her maxi pad, you know,
cleanliness,
full Daffy Duck in it, cooch toward the street, toward Cesar Chavez. And it was in that moment that I thought, I don't mind these early bus rides. I'll say it. I'm glad I got out. If this is where we're going. And I thought it'd make you chuckle. So I had to share the story.
The homeless man wiping his butt with a pigeon still is making me laugh.
Yeah.
And I think we may need a t-shirt of that.
I think we either need t-shirts or a nonprofit.
Speaking of t-shirts.
Yes.
We've got three new designs on the website.
Three, baby.
If you guys want to support Texish, the best way you can do that right now, aside from liking, reviewing, and sending this to your friends, is buying a t-shirt. Please support us. Support our straight Nelson 2024 ticket.
Yeah, we are starting a presidential campaign on behalf of two of our favorite country artists. It's a write-in campaign,
to be fair.
It's write-in, but I think it could work.
I think it could work.
Because here's the thing. These guys are younger than most of the guys we've had in this office for the last 10 years anyway. Yeah. But it is a straight Nelson 2024 presidential campaign t-shirt. Go purchase that. We also have the Don't In and Out My Whataburger t-shirt. That's available. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the Don't Mess with Austin t-shirt, but it's overlaid on the state of California. So, you know, we're throwing some jabs out there. We're having fun. That is also a way that you can support Q6 Media. Those are the amazing people that help get our clips together, have helped grow this podcast to the point that we could even think of trying to sell shirts on a bigger level. So go purchase those shirts, texishpod.com, or on our Instagram, View Shop. That's how you can see the shirts. Go purchase them. We'll send them your way. What happened once upon a time in Texas history?
Once upon a time, it was once, not twice upon a time. The year's 1971.
Nice.
We're in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. Small town.
And
we're ripping.
Dallas in a small town.
We're ripping.
Thank you for interrupting my once upon a time story.
Sorry,
I don't know. I don't know if I want to do it now.
the mic is facing away from me.
Okay. 1971, Dallas, Texas. There's a small restaurant that unveils for the first time the frozen margarita machine. So this restaurateur decides that after having a lot of Slurpees at 7-Eleven, that he could do this with the blended margarita that had become so popular in his restaurant. So he tries to buy us like an old Slurpee machine, but 7-Eleven's like, no, man, I'm not going to sell this to you. Yeah. Something's weird is going on here. So he buys an old ice cream machine, tinkers with it a little bit, and figures out how to make the frozen margarita. And they put it front and center on the bar. And in no time flat, it becomes the hit of the town.
That's awesome.
The restaurant's popularity explodes. And the frozen margarita eventually becomes the state drink.
Really?
So we're one of the few states with like a state beverage.
And it's the,
and
frozen,
it's the frozen margarita.
Dude.
Because of this man who invented the frozen margarita machine and built an entire empire.
Dude, Jimmy Buffett must hate us for that. What?
Right.
This might be the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Really, really cool, right?
I didn't know that we originated the frozen margarita.
We originated the frozen margarita, specifically machine. They were blending it, and he noticed because...
Like an actual blender, yeah.
So at the time, Texas would not allow like cocktail sales in a restaurant.
Okay.
So what he did was turned it into a club setting.
Yeah.
And eventually, partially but due to the popularity of this thing, they were able to reestablish the way they did licenses. So the margarita machine isn't just responsible for this man's massive growth and popularity. Yeah. It's also partially responsible for the reason you can have a cocktail with your dinner.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Texas is awesome.
Texas is awesome.
Do you remember the guy's name or the restaurant?
I do. I do remember the name. I wrote it down so that I wouldn't fully forget.
Because this is almost as cool as the janitor who made the Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah. So Mariano Martinez is the inventor.
Martinez. Okay. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's
Let me
so
see if
friendly.
I forgot anything about it. And, oh yeah. Okay. Here's one of the coolest part of it all. So because of the popularity of the drink and the invention of the machine,
yeah,
they eventually donated the original machine to the Smithsonian Museum.
It's in the Smithsonian. It is in the
Natural Museum of History Smithsonian Collection.
Suck it, Quanah Parker. That's awesome. Heck yeah.
Oh, man. Quanah, you got nothing on a frozen mark. I have
never been more proud to be a Texan than this
one. Isn't that fantastic?
I mean, like, launching a rocket out of Texas.
There you go.
Frozen margarita.
Frozen margarita.
Yeah.
I just want to say that the majority of people have enjoyed the benefits of frozen margaritas more than the benefits of launching somebody in space. I mean,
and plus it wasn't real anyway, but that's I'm kidding. I'm not one of those
In people. Fairness, they shot it. It was actually, ironically, it's the same backlot that he purchased the ice cream.
Interesting.
He made the frozen margarita from the ice cream machine.
That
they were making the fake astronaut food with.
That's hilarious. Where's your favorite frozen marg?
My personal favorite frozen margarita, because there are a lot of amazing options.
Yes.
At the moment, I really like this bar called Techo.
Okay.
They have a really interesting guava margarita.
Oh.
It is so good.
Nice.
It reminds me of like sitting on a beach, feeling a cool tropical breeze in my face, and just hearing like a little mariachi in the background.
Yeah. For Salinas. That was my Dominican accent. Anyway.
Deep cut.
Yeah, deep cut. Super deep cut. My favorite is the prickly pear margarita. Mm-hmm. Over at Fresa's on South First.
I like the prickly pear mark.
Such a good mark.
Fresa's is a great restaurant overall.
In general. Yeah.
In general. It. Yeah. But that prickly pear mark, man. So also, I like when the frozen margarita has some different colors.
Yeah.
It is nice. Like, I get it. The original is the, you know, green and greenish, all. Yeah. I get it. Make it fun. Make it interesting.
Let's have some fun with
this. Let's have some fun. Yeah. It's frozen. Like, let's
have a rainbow
fruit.
Flight. You know? Let's just do it.
It is Pride Month.
Yeah. All the Pride things.
All the Pride things.
Yeah. And then. And then if I'm feeling trashy, Chewy's goblet marg,
sure,
floater.
You got to do the floater.
Got to do the floater to compensate for the sugar. So because I could suck down three of those.
But if I have the floater, it kind of chills
I'm
me out.
Calories. Yeah. I'm sort of on that Subway diet.
Hey man, low key, Torchy's has a great frozen.
Not
margarita.
Bad either. Like, not bad either.
It's not like you're hanging out. You're eating a trash taco. You might as well have a trash marg.
I wonder if they would ever, if I could ask for it, super duper trashy, and they would pour frozen marg over the
taco.
Yeah.
I bet they would if you asked.
Be a fun thing.
I mean, like, have you ever met the people that work at Torchy's?
They're not happy.
They're not the happiest people in the
Maybe
world.
Maybe the most unhappy emo high schoolers I've ever encountered.
And I used to go to Hot Topic a lot.
Yeah, I used to shop at Hot. I used to aspire to work at Hot Topic in Midland, Texas.
Just for the free t-shirts.
For the free t-shirts.
Yeah.
The youth
the
large.
The only place you could get the band t-shirts.
Yeah. Like,
super soft,
is
super
that
tight.
All I go to Torchy's and this is how they treat you.
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
Yeah.
Sorry I came to Torchy's today.
Yeah. there's a bar I like to go to called Skinny's. It has a $5 burger on Sundays.
Ooh.
Really great burger.
Yeah.
Two of the bartenders who occasionally work that shift are the most spaced out, nonchalant, don't give an F.
Yeah.
Like, they just kind of like disappear into the background and start, like, I saw one of them pour out of the frozen. They do a frozen White Russian.
Yeah.
Get a tiny cup of the White Russian and just kind of like,
Which you're not supposed to do. Technically drinking on your shift.
Technically, I'm not calling anybody out. I'm not going to say who did it. It's just funny because it's in plain sight.
He was licking it like a puppet.
The best like dive bar atmosphere.
Oh,
it's actually perfect, but it is funny.
I love and hate it when employees, especially at service based organizations,
are just like,
clearly
what?
Do not give a rip.
Yeah.
The attitude of, I hate you for coming to.
I kind
of
need it sometimes.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
That's why we like dive bars.
Yeah. It's,
you go to the dive bar and they're like, what?
What?
And you're like, yes,
thank you. I
thank
love you
so much. You're getting 10%.
You go to a dive bar and the staff is like, why are you here? And I'm like, Dad. Kidding. Oh, our dad was very, very, very,
very loving.
We had a great household. Yes, small town of the week.
Where is it?
Small town of the week.
Mustang, Texas. Mustang, Texas. Population 21.
Oh, wow.
So Mustang, Texas was like all these other towns founded at, you know, back whenever the railroad was being put in.
Did they get the railroad?
They did not get the railroad.
That's why
you'll
it's 21.
There's nobody there.
Yep.
So it was called Mustang because of one of two things.
Okay.
Either the wildflowers that bloomed in Mustang Creek.
Aww.
Or, alternatively, the wild Mustangs that purportedly live there. Nobody can necessarily tell you why.
Okay, they're just there.
They're just there.
Does anybody try to tame them? Or
at one point they did, yeah.
Okay.
There are no longer wild Mustangs there.
Got it.
So.
Oh, they're not there anymore.
I
thought you meant there was still
at one point, the population surged to like 45. They had like a little post office.
Aww.
At the time of my research, the only building left was a strip club called Whispers, where couples are welcome.
Interesting.
Interesting.
As employees or as
who knows?
Patrons?
Who knows?
Interesting.
So guess who owns Mustang, Texas?
H.J. Hanks.
Mark Cuban.
What?
Mark Cuban bought Mustang, Texas for $2 million when his friends were trying to sell it and needed money.
It's worth $2 million?
Oh, I don't think it's worth $2 million.
But he bought it.
He bought it to help
$2
out a
friend. Well, $2 million to him
is... two pennies to us.
Yeah.
But still, he buys this town for $2 million in upon inquiry in like, are you, what are your plans? And he's like, I don't have any plans.
Well, we have some ideas.
We've got ideas, man.
What? Okay. Shark Tank moment.
Shark Tank moment.
Really quick.
Yeah.
This is what happens when we don't record for 3 weeks. We chase,
we chase every rabbit.
Mark Cuban is that camera right there. What is your Shark Tank pitch for what to do with the province, the town, the village of Mustang, Texas.
All right, Mark, listen. You're a shark. I know that you've got great ideas. You've got a great basketball team. You have hard and fast political opinions. What I'm suggesting is Cuban land. We build out a Disneyland style property, bring in all the families to chase all the wild horses. We populate it with wild horses. And if you can catch a horse, you can play on the basketball team.
Ooh,
that's my idea.
I like that.
What about you?
All right, Mark. There's been a surge in athleisure. Where? In health and wellness.
Unwear.
And in med spas. And you, my friend, have a golden opportunity to take advantage of the wannabe artsy tech billionaire bros and their bimbo wives by building the first ever Sandlot Resort in Mustang, Texas. We're talking pickleball complex, wiffle ball stadiums. And I mean actual stadiums built to miniature scale of actual MLB places. Covered basketball courts where at least five of your G League players are always on staff to help people dunk or to block them if they wanted to know where they came from. Nothing but farm-to-table food, maybe eat some of the Mustangs, try something adventurous, and 1 million thread count sheets. This is your chance, Mark, to turn this into the greatest destination resort in Texas. Give us a call.
I like how you took the original idea and just made it better. I love
that. Well, yeah,
that's good business.
If
I'm not even trash. I'm like, that's actually
behind
fantastic.
Every big brother.
Yeah.
Is a little brother holding onto the curtail, just enhancing the ideas and claiming them as his own.
I'm fine with it.
That's the role of the little brother.
Hey, as long as you do all the work, I'm cool.
There we go. Do you want to hear about our badass?
Badass of the week.
We nailed that.
That was good.
Let's do it again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Badass of the week. Our Texas badass of the week is, and I keep getting his name wrong, Herbert Coconut Jr.
Do they call him Coconut?
They should have.
They should.
So Herbert Coconut, am I saying you're right? Coconut, Cockernut, however you want to say it.
Cockernut.
Pride month. deep cut.
Nice.
Herbert Coconut Jr. was the son of course, Herbert Coconut Sr.,
yeah.
Who was, so his father was a millionaire businessman, ended up purchasing the Ott 6 Ranch, which is one of the biggest ranches in Texas. It spans, they have land up in the Lubbock area, but then from Pecos County all the way into Big Bend. So they are basically the majority landholders of the whole far west Texas region. Mm-hmm. Come in, his son, Harold Coconut Jr., and he's building on the success of his father, is growing the empire, making a lot of money, doing a lot of philanthropic work as well. But this is also in the early 1900s when baseball is truly America's pastime. Because mm-hmm. what a lot of people don't realize is most towns, not even cities, but most towns had a men's team. Mm-hmm. There were all these independent amateur leagues comprised of all of these, you know, semi-pro baseball teams that were just made up of the businessmen and the workers and people who wanted to play baseball. And so he made this huge move to turn the then Alpine Cats baseball club into the Alpine Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And the field they played on was just a bunch of chicken wire. And he decided, well, I'm gonna like literally paint in red the Ott 6 brand across the chicken wire fence so that they know it's our field. And his dad came in and said, like, right before he died, this is his last days, and said, well, if you're going to put our name on it, you might as well make it big. So Herbert Coconut Jr. ends up building what is now Coconut. I cannot say this word.
Coconut.
Coconut, thank you, Field, which is a 2-scale replica of Wrigley Field in Alpine, Texas, and just builds this immaculate stadium, mm-hmm. again, for the local independent semi-pro baseball team.
Right.
And this creates a lot of buzz within Alpine and far west Texas of this great stadium. The team gets better. They go on to win a bunch of different league titles. They even competed for a national indie baseball title at one point. Mm-hmm. Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Lou Gehrig, like all of these big name baseball players that would do these exhibition games would make it a point to stop at Coconut Field in Alpine, Texas to see how awesome it was. He was so invested into this stadium that he put $2.5 million of his own money into wow. building it. And then when it came time to put lights up for night games, and this was a very new concept. Keep in mind, Wrigley Field in Chicago didn't have lights until 2014 or wow. 15, I think 15, maybe 16. One of those years.
One of those years.
One of those years. But night games were a new thing in the 40s.
Yeah.
He visited every stadium that had lights in Texas mm-hmm. to count the bulbs just to make sure that his stadium had the most bulbs.
Oh, one, two,
three. You know what's really sad?
What?
Is you just did that and I realized, oh, wait, you could count them when they're off.
Yeah.
This whole time I've been thinking, oh, he's counting, he's like, the lights are on. Just turn them off and you can count them. So, but that he's a badass for being rich. For being, land,
right, yeah, right, yeah. right, right.
I just think it's awesome.
I think that's amazing.
That he built this Dude. Insane Wrigley Field replica in Alpine, Texas that attracted so much attention.
He Field of Dreams did.
He literally,
like, he literally, like, that's
it. There might be a chance that Field of Dreams is based off of Herbert Coconut Jr. because of what he did.
Herbert Coconut.
And to this day, the Sol Ross college baseball team plays there
on that field.
And the Alpine Cowboys are now a part of the Pecos League, which is
oh, cool.
the most derelict, defunct, independent summer league in the world.
Sure.
And I want to make a movie about it one day.
Hey, man.
Players get $50 a week.
Wow.
But that's where
okay.
it's literally the Sol Ross baseball team.
I feel like there's a great already like movie concept because you've got the Carolina Bananas, right?
Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas. And
ragtag, Bad News Bears it.
Bad News Bears it.
Oh,
Bad News
my
Bears
God.
It.
Trademark. That's
trademark.
Ours.
That's because like
writer strike.
Right? Hey,
needs work.
We're good. We're not in the WGA. We got this.
Dude, that would be so. It'd
be so
movie.
Fun, right?
Oh my gosh.
I feel like the Savannah Bananas would back it.
I think they would.
I think they might.
I have a contact with Jesse Cole. Jesse Cole, hey. If you're listening, we would love to make a movie in which your team loses but gets to be a part of it. Because the Cowboys have to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad guy.
I mean,
has
like
to win.
Ultimately, or tie.
Or tie.
Wait,
no,
wait, no, no.
This isn't.
Here, no.
It may be
they
Pride
lose,
Month,
we
but this isn't no,
we,
soccer.
We rocky
okay?
it. We rocky.
Rocky it. Okay.
They lose the first movie,
and then the
but
second.
They gain everything they
yeah,
need.
And then by the eighth movie, everyone's over it.
Right.
Would you make okay if you're writing it?
Sure.
Would you make the Cowboys like pitiful in a? How the Bad News Bears were just pitiful. Or would you make them like some of us might be in the cartel? We're bad people and we
like
play baseball.
Somewhere in the middle, right?
Okay.
You make it, this is obviously a comedy.
Yes.
So you have to make them.
We need to bring the baseball comedy
so,
back, by the way.
Longest Yard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You Longest Yard it.
Okay. Gotcha.
They are technically not the greatest mm-hmm. people in the world.
Yeah.
But you love them.
But they contain multitudes.
And they contain multitudes. And you have somebody who like got fired from the Savannah Bananas.
I was
going to
say, it's somebody,
yeah,
who
somebody
was
who,
at the banana. The guy on stilts.
Right.
Gets fired
and
from the bananas.
And you bring them in.
Yeah.
And they're all like, well, we're baseball players. And you're like, but what if you dance though?
Yeah. Well, so would the Cowboys start to dance? Or would the Bananas guy realize that these guys are playing real baseball? How do we do this?
I think it's a game of giving up a little bit
of
to gain a lot.
All, okay,
of bringing
gotcha.
It all together because like you, at some point they have to play each other.
Yeah. Well, it all leads.
It
to
all
that.
Leads to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be so good. Oh, and then there's that one scene where the Puerto Rican shortstop mm-hmm. who can't speak English and is very stone faced
yes.
the whole time.
Sorry, Dominican.
No, I went Puerto Rican just to avoid just
okay.
literally jumping over it. Plus, Puerto Rico's a
Swimming.
Way plus Puerto Rico's a way better state. Dominican's a freaking trash country. what? I'm just saying, what if the next Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie was just the Dominican Republic falling into the ocean?
I mean, he would have to lift that. It would be him deadlifting the DR.
See, but here's what would happen. He would be trying to lift it out of the water and then see Puerto Rico and go, oh, and like drop it back in and just go.
Just swim to Puerto Rico.
Because it's a trash country. See how I flip it?
I do.
Yeah. I love Mexico. But the stone-faced shortstop, you know, very...
Yeah.
Music starts playing. So we're towards the end and you have that... Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a great payoff. And
that's the payoff.
It's the payoff. We're writing this movie.
We're writing this movie.
We're for sure writing
this movie. We're for sure writing this movie.
And Jesse Cole and Mark Cuban will back it. We can film it in Mustang.
We can film in Mustang. That's what Mustang's used for.
It's a movie set.
You know
set.
What? Full circle. Tax credits.
We have solved so many problems.
You know, this podcast is so slept on as a political powerhouse. Speaking of political powerhouses.
Texas update. All right. Major League Baseball received backlash from fans after they replaced the colors in their MLB logo with the colors of the Pride flag, nixing the rest of their Pride Month branding initiatives, like using discount code BaseballButtsDriveMeNuts to get discounts on tickets, having a penis symbolize the count of 2-1, and having the Chicago Cubs play as the Chicago Bears for a weekend homestand. Not those bears. These bears.
It's mating season for tarantulas, with clusters of the spiders emerging all over Texas. An A&M field guide calls it the most spectacular spider event in all of Texas. I call it my worst f***ing nightmare.
Last Tuesday, Governor Greg Abbott, seen here watching that scene in Game of Thrones where the old maester dances around his room as if it's a sports clip, sent 42 migrants to Los Angeles. But in his defense, with names like Creeper, Casper, and Spider, you might have better job opportunities in LA.
The Longhorns and the Aggies will play each other in 2024 for the first time in 13 years. This marks the first time in SEC history that two teams will lose to each other simultaneously.
It's true.
They both suck.
Record heat waves have already swept across Texas, and scientists are blaming climate change, while every youth pastor in Texas is blaming their smoking hot wife.
Methinks they doth protesteth too much.
Methinks they think that their private homeschool wife is way too hot.
Methinks they're celebrating Pride Month secretly.
Yes.
As of 2025, Texas drivers will no longer require inspections. And there's no joke here, I'm just really excited to strap a rocket to my horse and ride it down 35. Seth's seen here riding a rocket.
Right, riding a rocket. have fun finding videos of rockets attached to horses. And then photoshopping Seth.
Just getting scraped off the highway.
Like,
Oh man.
My gosh.
Why do I think I can ride a rocket horse when I can't ride a regular horse? I feel like it'll be easier somehow.
I think it's one. You know how when you snowboard, if you go down a black, it's easier.
It's
than a
easier
green.
In some
I
way.
I think if you just put a rocket,
because like
the horse,
you have to do it.
Yeah,
you have to.
There
live.
Is no choice but to go tips down.
Right.
You know, on a horse, if you're, if there's a rocket,
you have no choice.
You can Bugs Bunny that, light the candle, take off. Yeah, and it's faster. It's a smoother ride.
It is a smoother ride.
I would say
it is a smoother ride.
It is Pride Month. And we did Texas update, butchered that MLB joke.
It's okay.
Completely butchered it. Amen. Too long. I wrote it too long.
You know what? I appreciate the punchline, especially the last one.
Thank you.
We'll make it work.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Q6 Media.
Q6 Media, saving our asses since 2023.
And I do this thing where I think I find things late.
Mm-hmm.
Because how old is the witch hunt, the witch trials of J.K. Rowling?
Several months at this point.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I shout out to my friend Matt. He sent it to me and said, you got to listen to this. I thought, I'll listen to an episode a day. I end up finding a reason to just listen to it all the way through.
It's pretty interesting.
It was fascinating.
Yeah. The entire makeup of the thing is kind of cool, especially with the host.
Yes.
Because she was ex-Westboro Baptist.
I will say my favorite part about this podcast that is about the cultural moment and trans rights and feminism and female rights is somehow the straight white female found a way to make it about herself.
She did do that.
Somehow she managed to still, how do they do it? Just every topic somehow just.
Well, Gunnar, women are inherently selfish and they have an inability to think about anybody other than
themselves.
We
have started off on the right foot. Remember, comedy podcast. Man.
Comedy podcast. Comedy.
Comedy.
All right. It doesn't matter. We're still going
to
get comments.
Yeah. Anyway, stick to the material, guys.
Precursor, for the record, Pride Month. Excellent. This is just talk about.
Also,
trans
Pride
rights.
Month technically started in Texas.
Technically started in Texas.
One, thoughts on the witch trials of J.K. Rowling, but just this cultural moment of the Pride Month thing, yeah, of trans rights. Just
sure.
Thoughts from Seth.
Thoughts from Seth.
Let's have a conversation.
Man, not trans, first of all.
Yeah.
Not the trans Brett Cooper, as much as Gunnar wishes I was.
Pronouns, not trans.
So there is an element of, I will never fully understand that perspective, mm-hmm, right? I can try to, and I would like to, never fully gonna understand it. So mm-hmm, listening to the Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling is interesting because I am a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah, huge. Well, Harry Potter fan. You were the perfect age for Harry Potter.
And yeah, it came out right as I was the same time, right as I was the same age as the characters. So mm-hmm, I grew up with these characters, yeah, reading
and
these books.
I'm jealous of that. I and really
you
am.
Should be, because yeah, it's fantastic. Because
it was awesome.
And clearly it developed an amazing person.
There you go.
So I do remember hearing about J.K. Rowling getting into hot water, mm-hmm, for some tweets that were theoretically, yeah, anti-trans.
Yeah.
And what it always kind of comes back to with a lot of these hot topic issues and a lot of the things that people get in trouble for is saying things like what she said, mm-hmm, sex and gender are different, basically. Yeah. She's, mm-hmm, saying biological sex does not necessarily determine gender, and yeah, me saying that does not make me a bad person or anti-trans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her whole perspective, as you find out during the witch trials, yeah, is to protect strictly female spaces,
yeah,
for deeply personal reasons.
And very valid reasons.
Valid personal reasons. Yeah. So what I'm always coming back to is our opinions are so colored by our personal experiences, mm-hmm, that I don't know that you can ever be truly objective about the things that you say and do.
Yeah.
In those circumstances, mm-hmm, I think we see a very complex woman who has risen to a point of, mm-hmm, prominence. That
what
she
a
never,
very intelligent
woman who rose to a point of prominence that I don't think she ever wanted necessarily. Yeah. And did you ever read her full blog post on why
not.
She decided
I was unaware of pretty much all of this.
Go read it if you want to. It's not that long, but it, mm-hmm, goes into why she decided to start talking about this and taking stances on it. Mm-hmm. Through the witch trials, you hear all of her, you know, this is why I think this, this is why I think this, this is why I'm standing for free speech, this is why I'm not, mm-hmm, anti-trans, I am anti this particular legislation,
yeah,
that seems to put women in danger.
Yeah.
Which led to her being called a trans exclusionary radical feminist. Which is a term I never thought I would learn.
Yeah. Or that would exist.
that would exist. So what we're seeing is a portion of the population now has a voice.
Yeah.
And it's a portion of the population that is ostracized, mm-hmm, misunderstood in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And all of the rhetoric around it is, from what I can see from these two sides, one, the people who are trans who want rights, and two, people, mm-hmm, who are, well, maybe three sides, the diametrically opposed, yeah, saying, no, we can't specifically legislate for you.
Yeah.
And then the people like, yeah, us who are kind of trying to see both sides and, yeah, wade through where.
And even have like a legislative opinion and,
right,
personal opinion.
Right. Yeah. Which often we found your legislative opinion kind of differs from your personal held beliefs.
It is possible.
In a lot of places. It's like being like, technically I'm pro-choice, even though I'm personally anti-abortion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I am morally opposed to abortion.
But I think ethically, in a lot of cases, it's the, yeah, right thing. And it's not my body.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, mm-hmm, if I believe that I should have body autonomy, I believe you should as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where the trans issue, in my, mm-hmm, opinion and in my view,
yeah,
kind of comes into play.
And I'm still kind of new into reading this, just really quick.
I'm talking a lot.
Trans rights. Well, I like you talking. You're smart. Trans rights, that fight is for specifically like healthcare.
Right.
And when they say healthcare, they mean surgeries mostly, right?
For the most part,
or, you know, any of the...
Any of the transitioning
hormone therapies that come with,
yeah,
that. Correct?
I believe so.
Because for about 3 years now, I've been... I have these dumb moments, yeah, where I think, don't you have insurance?
It seems like the biggest things, mm-hmm, are making sure that they have access to healthcare, mm-hmm, specifically in regards
for
to transitioning
any type of...
Access to sports.
Uh-huh.
And
it's called co-ed, but go ahead.
And I'm trying to think of like the other big issues, like, mm-hmm, those are the two main ones,
okay,
right? Is the ability to transition
that we're aware of.
And bathrooms, apparently.
Yeah.
So J.K. Rowling's big thing was the fear that any man could say, I identify as a woman, mm-hmm. and not be required and not have to go through any type of hormone therapy or surgery, mm-hmm. and could then take advantage of a situation.
Yeah.
I think that's her big fear, mm-hmm. right? It's oversimplified,
but that's cited a few moments where that has
where
happened.
That has happened.
I do think as somebody who leans right.
Sure.
Something the right does that I don't like is they take those isolated moments and right. make it
and
a
blow them up into the
if
entire.
If we pass this legislation, yeah. men will rape women in bathrooms 24/7.
It's the slippery slope argument,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the podcast does a good job of showcasing her opinions and why mm-hmm. they exist, yeah. as well as demonstrating kind of, I think, our generation's big mm-hmm. shift, which yeah. is left ideology becoming almost exactly like conservative ideology, yeah. i.e. very puritanical, mm-hmm. very, if you don't yeah. think this way, mm-hmm. you are wrong.
It's become very clear that this spectrum we've always learned right. about is actually a circle. It's literally a yeah. loop, because at some point,
yeah, like, it all comes back
the
around.
Right becomes so left that they're eating their own tail yeah. and vice versa. Like the left becomes so extreme that they're literally mm-hmm. just as puritanical. Mm-hmm.
The whole like hate. Ethos of it yeah. is that of a puritanical mm-hmm. religion,
yeah,
which is hilarious, mm-hmm. Sort of.
Well, I did think it was interesting how Rowling was able to cite
right.
like the Death Eaters and the Ministry of Magic, like the arc of mm-hmm. evil in the mm-hmm. Harry Potter books. That story,
yes,
actually mirrors more the woke left, like right. the extreme left, and their rhetoric. Than it does
the religious right.
The religious right.
In a lot of ways.
Now, at the time that she wrote Harry Potter, it was kind
it
of
was,
it was yeah. flipped. It was
and it was specifically
it
mimicking
was Cheney's America. It yeah. was mimicking, you know,
that can push for
the
conservatism.
The right seemed more Death Eatery yeah. than the left.
And you know, I think what's interesting that I thought about is, you know, they mentioned the Salem witch trials. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting thing that people forget, although like witches were killed and condemned, zero yeah. witches in Salem were killed.
Yeah.
So the Salem witch trials resulted in zero burnings.
Yeah.
And
they're out of wood.
Well, and there's a big what to do about like cancel culture and, you know, things like that. And I think ultimately it's kind of a straw man. Like
yeah.
you're getting called out for doing something that a certain portion mm-hmm. perceives as immoral or wrong yeah. in some way. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, I mean, certainly people have lost their jobs, but 9 times out of 10, you're okay.
Yeah. Well, and 9 times out of 10, you didn't say anything wrong.
Right. You said something against the grain yeah. of this particular population.
Or you said something new. You waded into the water of nuance.
Sure.
And,
God forbid.
And, you know, you got pushed under a little too far. You got yeah. held under because.
And look, even yeah. right now on a meta level, we're talking about an issue that is in some ways new to us actually talking about.
Yeah.
And we're going to get some level of pushback, which is fine. We
sure.
expect it.
Well, there's
going to
be people
it.
who wish we were as educated as them.
Yeah.
And they're going to make that known. And that's cool.
Sure, and that's
you know,
cool.
Do your thing.
I think
probably not going to change my mind on where I stand,
sure.
quote unquote. But
and it's that thing of I love the person.
Yeah.
Fully. Mm-hmm. 100% every time.
Yeah.
There is no exception to that. Mm-hmm. And within that, there is nuance for what the rules are.
Yeah.
And when certain things shouldn't be allowed. Mm-hmm. In our last reaction video, you know, we made a joke about trans athletes based on the steer running
the
through,
steer
a,
running
crowd
through
of,
a crowd of Texas women. Go check it out, Texas Pod.
And there is, you know, admittedly, some mm-hmm. talk about should trans women be allowed to compete with biological women?
Yeah.
And
what do you think?
I personally think no.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen is the result.
Mm-hmm.
There's the swimmer who was, you know, yeah. ostracized for mm-hmm. speaking out against it because, I mean, she lost like, you know, she ended up being in third to two biological men who
yeah.
transitioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then she told that story
yeah.
of I tied for fifth.
Tied for fifth
with
yeah.
Leah Thomas.
Yeah.
And we were taken back and they said, well, we're going to give the trophy to Leah, even though y'all tied. And they could not give her a reason.
A reason, right.
Other than
right.
we need pictures of
better.
Leah. This looks better.
And that's really unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And she also was very open about, you know, she had raced with Leah pre-transition whenever
yeah.
they were in the same locker room and
yeah.
nobody had told them
mm-hmm.
that would be happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know Leah Thomas. I don't know what goes through her head. Mm-hmm. I just know that, like, I'm sure that's an uncomfortable situation for her as well, but how do you navigate that?
Yeah.
And whenever you are a young person, you have to trust whoever is guiding those things mm-hmm. to have your best interest at heart as well as those in your groups.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's true right now.
No.
I think that it's a lot of performativism mm-hmm. and people who are scared to get in trouble mm-hmm. in positions of authority.
Yeah.
And I think that's the worst thing about all of this mm-hmm. is there's no room for, like you said, nuance on actually discussing these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a friend who's transitioned mm-hmm. or in the process of,
yeah.
You know, we knew her growing up and mm-hmm. she's a really intelligent, an incredible woman in her own right. And I'm excited to talk to her about this on yeah. some levels, mm-hmm. but I'm sure we'll have some disagreements.
Probably a few.
Yeah, but probably a few.
You disagree with everybody.
I'm That's Seth. I disagree with everybody on everything.
Well, no, I don't mean you. I mean, in general, you. Yeah. This idea that you have to be in alignment right. on every single yeah. thing or you're an enemy is bonkers to me.
What was your biggest takeaway from the witch trials?
Other than the joke I made earlier, because I kind of meant that. I mean, honestly, man, my takeaway was I may be a little more on the opposing side sure. of the general trans conversation from yeah. a legislation perspective than I thought I was. Sure. I came into it thinking I'm probably pretty middle.
Sure.
As I usually am, but I actually walked away thinking I actually think I might be leaning more right yeah. on some of these legislative issues. And even just from a moral perspective, there's some grappling for me that I'm doing just from a, like, as a Christian who believes in God's design and sure. believes in his natural design, I do see some of this transitionary on the surgical level as mm-hmm. actual mutilation.
Sure.
And not in a, how dare you mutilate God's creation, but mm-hmm. just a, like, what kind of hurt or confusion was
present,
was condoned mm-hmm. to the point that this was made the result.
There
and that it
sure
kind of it the feelings, spiritual stirrings of I actually might come to some points in conversations where I want and have to say, look, I'm actually on the opposing side,
yeah,
and that's a weird point to get to because I've tried to always be pretty straddly.
Well, especially whenever you're raised to be agreeable
yeah.
and polite,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of room for interpretation on
yeah.
where your politeness and agreeableness yeah. has to stop
mm-hmm.
and you have to stay true to what you exactly. believe and think.
Yeah. And there's that, for me, it comes with a fear of, I don't want to, you know, become all Daily Wire-y on this type of stuff.
Because, unless you guys want to pick us up and pay for us, in which
sure,
case,
whatever.
We'll sell out immediately.
But yeah, it made me realize, well, now that I'm confronting more mm-hmm. of this and looking more into this, and seeing the cultural narrative that's happening and realizing even as, you know, as a married man who's going to raise yeah. a family one day, actually having to think through how do we approach this conversation?
Sure. Because it will be one you have to have.
And frankly, plant a flag.
Sure.
Because for most things, I want to be able to always be nuanced, to yeah. always be understanding. This one's wading into waters of, yes, always understanding, always loving, but at what point am I being so understanding that I'm not making it clear that, well, I actually do disagree with this though.
Sure.
Or
at what point
I actually yeah. am opposed to some of this stuff.
Sure.
I don't think it's right. And I don't mean that in a, so, you know, darn you to hell. Like, and you know what I mean? Does what yeah. I'm saying make sense?
I feel like it does.
Yeah.
And what I'm getting to is, there are so many different perspectives, but they're yeah. kind of two main ones.
Yeah.
What do you feel like the perspective is in your circles?
So within my circle, there's mm-hmm. a spectrum of, it spans understanding, loving, but disagrees.
Sure. And what does disagrees mean? Because I think there are levels to that.
Yeah. Means almost back to the, like, personally, I'm sure. anti-abortion, but legislatively, I'm mm-hmm. pro-choice. Still in that waters of, I really wish that, you know, trans healthcare didn't have to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's going to be a thing, I'd rather it be legislated so that it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And there are measures in place to hopefully
sure.
give people the care they need, meaning surgery is the last option, not this care is in place so that you can just get sure. the surgery you want. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I do want to clarify, all the measures in place to make sure that you are a healthy, functioning
person. That you are healthy.
And that this surgery is a necessity.
Is a necessity.
For your operation.
Exactly.
As a whole, happy, healthy,
to get you to a happy, person. Whole, functional cool. place. Exactly. Yeah. Person, mind.
Yes.
And that's where I fall.
Person yeah. first care.
Person yeah. first care. Get yeah. you to a healthy, happy place.
Yeah.
Do I believe that we're made to be happy and healthy in the body we're born into, in the gender we're born mm-hmm. into? Yes.
Sure.
But again, in an imperfect world, that I would rather it be a safe route to happy, healthy body you have. That's where I fall. But within my communities, you can go all the way to the far right of like, this is a sign of the end times. Like
sure,
that,
you have that in your community.
The furthest extreme is this is a sign of the end times. We are going to homeschool our family and never go outside. Like, which is, to me, just as bonkers as thinking you're two genders at once.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to have this, that's what I always feel in those communities is when people are so confused and baffled at, I can't believe that the guy thinks he can be a girl. And it's like, well, I can't believe you can be so hateful toward someone you don't know. So, you know, this logic you're using to say you don't understand or you think this is a sign of the end times is just as backward as what you perceive as backward thinking.
And often is, right?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of like par for course.
I really hope I'm making sense here.
You are. This is something that we haven't talked about in this depth on in a way where we know people will listen. And for sure.
The one I'll make a strong stance on is trans women should not be competing in female sports. And trans men should not be competing in men's sports. I'm sorry to anyone I offend saying that, but just straight up, full stop. Leah Thomas should not be swimming in the SEC champion in whatever swimming championship in NCAA championships with females. Period. I just do not believe that's right.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I have to agree with that particular point.
Yeah,
I think that this also becomes very, again, nuanced because you have trans people, and so you start wading into these waters where it's not so clear.
Yeah,
and
by its nature,
it's not so
pretty
clear.
Murky.
And I do want to be sensitive, so I truly don't want to make anybody like feel attacked.
Yeah.
I don't care if I offend people. I just don't want anybody to feel like I'm attacking a person.
You want to be kind, not nice.
Right. There you go. And that's sometimes a hard line to draw.
Well, so, no, it's an easy one to draw. People just don't like it.
Well, no, I think if you're a nice person or a kind person, you can sometimes flip too far to the nice side. By default.
Oh, that, okay.
That's what I mean by it's a hard line to draw.
Gotcha. I was more saying as like, people will perceive my lack of nicety as unkind. It's like, no, I'm being kind.
Yeah.
Nice has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so where I fall is always, again, person first. Mm-hmm. And I think because of the cultural issues surrounding it and the myopia, miasma, just the ennui that we seem to be in right now, where everything seems to be on a hair trigger.
Yeah.
You have these situations where the people who are supposed to be protecting children are erring on the side of following a cultural norm or a perceived cultural norm rather than ensuring what the child needs is being given to them.
Yeah.
I.e., you have people who are in certain cultural silos completely pushing children into something that may not be correct.
Yeah.
And on the other end,
because they're a child and they're confused.
They're a child and they're confused. And then on the other side, you've got people who are completely preventing a child from full expression. Mm-hmm. I think both those things are true.
Yeah.
And
both are wrong.
And both are wrong in their own way. Yeah. So what's happening that, you know, at least in my opinion, is the worst part of it is the people who are being affected are children who can't make their own choices.
Yeah.
Because by law, they can't.
Yeah.
So you end up with people who transition who maybe shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Or on the other side, you end up with people who turn to self-harm and those things because they weren't loved in the correct way.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
The way they needed.
So that's kind of where I see this shaking out as the most important part.
And even right there, you can see nuance.
Nuance. So Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling is a pretty great podcast overall.
It is great.
Because you get to hear from somebody who at the height of her power was kind of had her legs taken out from under her.
Yeah.
And even to the point where HBO, when they did the reunion, did not invite her.
Yeah.
The creator of the entire thing
was not invited.
Left out.
Well, and then, you know, back to the cultural pressures. Dude, I can't talk today.
Dude, that's
at all. It's crazy. I think I might be having mini strokes, but that's a different podcast.
Oh, man. That's like,
right? Because of the cultural pressures, when a Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint are coming out against J.K. Rowling, I'm sitting in a place of, do they mean that, or are they just and that's having the question, to do right? that?
That's the question. Do you mean it?
Because you know her.
Because if that is your real opinion, go for it.
But also,
is it your real opinion?
I'm hard pressed to believe it is. If you were literally partially raised by this person,
sure,
this person has influenced your life more than
anybody.
You know, outside of your parents,
yeah.
J.K. Rowling has probably had the most influence on your life, and you're saying your mind changed on her
because she had a nuanced opinion. Because
she had
something?
A nuanced opinion about something
that was slightly against what you think,
and founded upon her personal experience, and right. that's. I think I can draw everything back to, you know, all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
With all this nuance, all these stances, all these places, all the cultural norms and against the grain, we have to keep coming back to each individual person
mm-hmm.
has their own experience with their own hurts, with their own triumphs
mm-hmm.
that shapes their perception of themselves, of the world, of love, of their opinions. And I really hope that at some point before I die,
mm-hmm.
that becomes a little more of the norm of people are just understanding from not a, I understand people, but like, oh, I you're saying everyone else in the world doesn't have my experience. So
oh,
it's
wow.
different.
Shocker. Yeah. What I can't wait for is the day whenever all the Californians moving to Texas come out as trans Texan.
That's going to be great. I can't wait to do the trans Texas run and just, you know, I already have the branding
Dude,
colors.
The t-shirt's going to be amazing.
Going to be so fun. And then people are going to be pissed.
The t-shirt's reversible.
Nice. I like it. Thanks, I like man. It. I can't wait for the day that I decide I don't want to be on social media anymore. And I just post, I stand with J.K. Rowling and like
and
delete
bounce.
Everything and bounce. That would be my like, because for me, it'd be funny. I know it would offend a lot of people, but I would think it was funny.
The best part of all this is like really the only people that matter are the people who are close to you.
Yeah. True. Well, people
everybody
matter,
else
but
yeah,
the
but,
only people who matter
right
yeah
are the people who love and are close to you
yeah
and those are the people that you pay attention to
mm-hmm.
Feed everything else is feedback
yeah
you matter yeah. your opinion to me matters
Aww.
Oh yeah
your opinion to me matters.
Surprise right
okay. Well man anyway. I love you we love all of
we
you
we love all of
we
you
we truly do
yeah
if you disagree with probably a lot of things we said that's cool let us know we'd love to engage with some sort of
I'm gonna do a big poppy. You disagree? Send a DM. It's free.
It's free. It's free to let me know it's your free. Opinion. Dominicans.
Thank you.
Trash country. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate everybody. If you need any type of help, any type of medical help, go get it. If you need help getting that access, tap into the many resources through all the nonprofits and yada, yada, yada. Did I do that right?
I think that's good.
But more importantly, resources, texaspod.com. You can find our t-shirts. That's where our merch store is. If you go to Instagram and view shop, we've got shirts available there as well.
All of them are unisex at the moment.
They are all, hey.
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 We're inclusionary.
We are Pride Month. thanks for listening to this awkward, uncomfortable conversation as we try to do a thing as a comedy podcast where we get a little serious, but not in a here's our opinions way, but a here's a conversation about our opinions sure. way.
How meta.
Very meta. I'm so exhausted. And like, follow, subscribe, unfollow if we made you that mad. Whatever.
Bye, y'all.